So this is probably unnecessary for this audience, but you know, since it's the first talk, I guess I should start at some sort of beginning. So, well, as you all know, there are two kinds of topological strings. There's the A and the B model, they have, of course, two versions, the closed and the open string theory. And the closed string in the A model depends only on Kähler data of the manifolds, and sometimes describes Kähler gravity. And the B model depends only on the complex data, so it describes complex gravity. And these also have their open string versions. In the A model, the A brains correspond to D brains wrapping Lagrangian submanifolds, and in the B model, the B brains wrapping holomorphic submanifolds. Well, despite from in addition to the intrinsic beauty of these theories, one reason that they're interested in superstring theory is that they compute superpotential type terms of the physical theory. In particular, the A model is relevant for A type string, and the B model for B type, and for type 2B string theory. At perturbative level, it's probably fair to say that we understand these string theories reasonably well. In particular, perturbative topological strings have two classes, two dualities that we know of, which is mirror symmetry, basically C duality, which relates A and the B model, closed to closed and open to open. And this one has been around for a while. I guess these days the mirror symmetry with D branches is understood a little bit better, but it's just T duality, so some level is not that exciting. There's a fancier duality, which is an open-closed string duality, and relates closed and open strings of the same topological string series. Now, these are more exciting because they're in some sense they're toy models, right? Of open closed string dualities of the superstring theory, ADS-CFT correspondence, for example. And it's really very nice that in the context of these topological string theories, one can understand these very precisely. So we're pretty much at a level where we can say very simply what this this open closed string dualities are doing on the open string side, which is simply saying that what d-brains do is they deform geometry. We can consider some Calabi-Yau with some set n of d-brains, where n can actually be finite, and the statement of duality is that the full string theory, the full topological string theory on this manifold with d-brains is the same as topological string theory on a different manifold, but where d-brains deform the geometry. And they deform the geometry in a very precise way. Omega here is the gravity field of the corresponding topological string, so it's either a Kähler form in the type 2a or a holomorphic form in type 2b. And this holds whether or not d-brains, and this holds for d-brains both wrapping cycles which can shrink and cycles which cannot shrink. In one case, this corresponds to some normalizable deformation of Calabi-Yau, in the second case, non-normalizable deformation. So understanding of these open closed string dualities has led to computations of topological string amplitudes, both closed and open, in fact, exactly to all genera. In some contexts, there is this formalism of topological vertex, which allows you to do that. And this is really nice because, in principle, it allows you to go to understand string theory at finite coupling, and also get some insights about what geometry of topological strings looks like at Planck scale distances, where this beautiful work has shown that quantum form appears at Planck scale distances. It's something which you might have. So in addition to just being progress, we can compute these things, it also has led to some new physics. Now, all of this was in the context of non-compact Calabi-Yau. And So in terms of what to do further, well, the most pressing questions, in my opinion, are, what about compact labial? Understanding of string theory and compact labial is, of topological strings and compact labial is in a very rudimentary form. It's almost unchanged as from many years ago. So that's an obvious next question. And then the second question, but this, at some level, this is a technical question. There's a more physical question, which is, what are non-perturbative topological strings? So in principle, just as in string theory, we would like to know how to formulate this theory fundamentally, one can also ask the same question in the topological string. Do these theories have non-perturbative dualities? Is there a duality of topological string? Is there such a thing as topological M theory? So on this ground, progress has been made in recent couple of years, but most of this is in development. So I will talk about one aspect of this, of these new developments, which is this. On a fixed labial, recently, Oguri, Strominger, and Vafa proposed a non-perturbative formulation of the topological string. And somewhat surprisingly, this the intuition for this does not come from the topological string itself, but it comes from four-dimensional physics of supersymmetric black holes in four dimensions. Okay, so first of all, let's fix type 2A string theory for definiteness. In compactifications of type 2A on a labial in four dimensions, one can get black holes by wrapping D-brains on holomorphic cycles. The D-brains with your particles are D0 brains, D2 brains on two cycles, D4 brains, and D6 brains. And in four dimensions, these carry electric and magnetic charges under the U1 gauge field. So these are electric particles and these are magnetic, electrically and magnetically charged black holes. And Oguri, Strominger, and Vafa proposed to consider a mixed ensemble of these black holes where one fixes the magnetic charges and sums over all the electric charges. So omegas here are degeneracies of BPS states with charges P and Q. And then phis are chemical potentials for the electric charges. So to consider a partition function of black holes, which for fixed magnetic charge and depending on some chemical potential for the electric ones. And the conjecture is that this object, this mixed partition function, is equal to the topological, I'm hiding the message there, is equal to the topological string partition function, a type topological string partition function. So Z is sum of exponentiates the free energies at G minus G weighted by the string coupling constant, which denoted by lambda here. In this correspondence, T's here are Kähler moduli on which the amplitudes depend, and they're given in terms of magnetic charges and electric potentials in the following way. And the string coupling constant is 1 over the magnetic charge of the D6 brain charge plus its corresponding chemical potential. So notice, the right-hand side, obviously, is defined for small lambda and fixed but large T, so that perturbative expansion of the topological string is large charge expansion on the black hole side. So what is behind this is attraction mechanism. In other words, the degeneracies one can invert the above relation and express the degeneracies in terms of a Legendre transform of the topological string partition function squared. And the classical saddle points of this integral correspond to fixing the moduli of the Calabi-Yau and the string coupling constant to the values which they take at the black hole horizon. Okay. So the in this correspondence on the previous side, so the values that which they take at the black hole horizon. Yes. Yes. This is there's an issue of the choice of contour, but probably this side is actually in principle better defined. This. Okay. And this is sort of the version, if you want, I will use. So I won't worry about factors of I. Okay.
Without knowing how the multiplicity grows in charges, it's likely that if you fold the exponential, not the regular
exponential. Well, okay. Right. Yes, in principle, you will have issues of how to make sense of this path integral. But again, I think that in a very natural sense, it's this object which is better defined. So in principle, from this, you can read off the degeneracy if you want. Huh? Okay. So I will get to that. Very good. So in principle, it's something which is more straightforward.
Can you remind us, what was the motivation for the formula in the second transparency that you took the saddle point approximation to?
For what? For this?
So remind me, where this relationship with the Z top goes.
Okay, so there's good. So I've skipped a big piece of physics for the sake of time, but there's an actual question. Naturally, you expect that there are quantum corrections to the degeneracies of black holes, even to this index, right? And since topological string partition functions compute supersymmetric terms in four dimensions, they should naturally be able to compute this. And there is actually very precise, there is a formalism of how to do this based on Wald, of how to take into account corrections to Bekenstein-Hawking relation coming from the fact that the low energy effective action has corrections, the string loop corrections. So the way this formalism comes from is there's this original work of Cardozo and company, and Cardozo, Dewitt and company, who worked the details of this out, right? And Strominger, Oguri, and Vafa came along and found a nice way of thinking about this. Okay. In other words, they conjectured that it's this mixed ensemble, which is a nice object. Okay, which is in a simple way related to the topological thing. So this is where this all comes from. Okay, but in principle, at least formally, the saddle point expansion then of this integral around the attractor values computes then the asymptotic expansion of the degeneracies of black holes for large charges. However, of course, the black hole in principle exists for finite charges, hence it provides a non-perturbative completion to the topological string. In other words, In other words, this relation is approximate capturing all perturbative terms of the topological string, but defining what the non-perturbative terms are. So this is for the closed ring. There's an actual question of what should be the non-perturbative completion of the open topological string. So for example, one can consider a model on Calabi-Yau with some Lagrangian D-brings. And it turns out that this can be formulated, the non-perturbative completion of the open topological string can also naturally be formulated in terms of counting of BPS states, this time open BPS states. So what do I mean by this? So consider a D4 brain wrapping a Lagrangian cycle in X. So I'm now talking about a physical D brain. And this physical D4 brain on the Calabi-Yau gives rise it breaks supersymmetry, and it gives rise to 2.2 supersymmetric theory in two non-compact dimensions. And in this theory, there are BPS states, which are particles. The theory is in fact a gauge theory, and there are particles charged on the gauge field on the world volume, and these are naturally D2 brains wrapping curves in X, which end on the Lagrangian and are charged under the magnetic U1s. These are not obviously fundamental gauge fields, but the magnetic ones. How many of these U1s on the world volume you have is precisely the first Betti number of L, and that is how many open strings, open BPS charges you will have. Okay. Now, but in addition to these D2 brains can bound to any number of D0 brains, closed D2 brains, D4 brains, and D6 brains, and form more general BPS states. So then, it is very natural to conjecture that a mixed partition function of these open BPS states, which now includes closed for fixed closed magnetic charges, closed open string charges, and corresponding chemical potentials for the electric one. So omegas again are degeneracies of BPS states. Now both closed BPS states and open BPS states. Squared. And again, equal in this approximate sign of equal to all orders of perturbation theory. Where the identification of parameters is, for the closed string, is the same as before. In other words, G string is strict in terms of the D6 brain charge. And the closed parameters in terms of the closed string moduli in terms of closed magnetic charges and so forth. And the open string moduli are fixed in terms of the open magnetic charges and their chemical potentials. This is how they're related. Now, what I have not told you here is I have told you what open electric charges are. What I have not precisely defined, and I don't have time to do this, is what actually are the closed magnetic charges. So if you want, I have formulated this conjecture for you precisely for when these are set to zero. Okay. Yes?
I'm somewhat confused. There are electric charging two dimensions. These usually sources from electric field, and you would expect any faint amount of energy from electric field. So how is that?
That's right. But formally, you can count these objects. That's true. You can. That's a good point. In principle, you can count them. You can ask what is the number of.
I'm confused when you call it a particle that has infinite energy, then.
You can still. Yeah. That's a good point. I should give you a sharper answer to that. Well, now I'm talking about just BPS states. Okay. Now, so this is much more conjectural because it's an open question of what is an analog of an attractor mechanism there. Right. Yeah. I don't want to get too much into detail about this because I will not talk about it in detail. I just want you to say that there's a natural conjecture one can make. Okay. The physical in terms of its physical footing, it's on a weaker ground, but it can be checked in certain examples, so it's definitely true. It should be true, but understanding what the complete analogy of the closed string to the open string story is should be made. Nevertheless, it is a very natural question to ask, and a question which should naturally have an answer. So I'm proposing here. All right. Okay. So I will for the rest of this talk. I will just talk about closed strings. And that's essentially what it is. That's right. But you see, you cannot completely say, oh, it's just open closed string duality functorially, right? Because the amount of supersymmetry is naturally different as soon as you put the deeper in. Right? So while open closed string duality is a very, manifest, it's a very trivial duality, it's essentially a trivial duality in the topological string, right? But if you want, by now, it's basically trivial, right? In the physical setting, the bits are quite different because of a different amount of supersymmetry. That's right. Okay, so all of this remains to be worked out. I don't want to discuss this further. I mean later, but I have to. There are other things I want to talk about. Okay, so back to the closed string. Since black holes are D-brains, the partition function with its mixed ensemble can in principle be computed in terms of the quantum field theory on the D-brain. And now, here we're naturally free. So here the number of the six brains and the four brains is naturally frozen. So the D-brain theory should be, if P0 is non-zero, that should be some six-dimensional Young Mills theory on X, corresponding to the D-brain. And if P0 is zero, then some four-dimensional theory corresponding to theories on D4 brains. Now, because one is computing an index and not an actual entropy, right? This does not have to be. You don't have to talk about a CFT, which is in principle dual to the black holes in context of four-dimensional ADS CFT duality, ADS two CFT duality. But in principle, one can talk about this gauge theory at high energy. Okay. So what I want to do in this talk is provide evidence that this conjecture is true in a set of examples. And because I'm testing it to all orders in perturbation theory and topological strings are known to this order only for non-compact collabials, I will in fact dispense with compactness of the collabial. Now, while it's true that the fact that this conjecture can be formulated for a compact collabial is in fact the main motivation for it, as opposed to, let's say, saying that any other open closed string duality actually provides, matrix models or diagram of apathy matrix models provide a non-perturbative completion of the theory for you.
I don't think it's true that the diagram of matrix models provide a non-perturbative completion.
I would say they do with a certain asymptotic boundary conditions on the collabial, but it's definitely something which can be formulated only on on only this can hold only for non-compact collabial, obviously.
Which one of those
Okay, at any rate, so I will be dispensing with the compactness of X. So I will, again, not be talking about strict degeneracies of black holes. I will be talking about degeneracies of BPS states in four dimensions. Okay. So I will talk about this for a particular class of collabials, which are of the form, they're sums over two line bundles over over a Riemann surface. Okay, so the reason I'm picking this particular example is precisely because it's quite hard to find theories where both the closed string can be where both the topological string theory can be understood precisely enough, and where the corresponding deviance theories are understandable. And the corresponding deviant partition functions can be computed. So I have to be, to get something concrete, I have to get very specific. Okay. That's right. That's right. This is slight, I could have done that. Okay, but this is somewhat actually simpler than this. So basically, I have done that too. Yeah. Well, with these six brain charges turned off, it's not true. Well, okay. Nevertheless, you can still. Well, okay. There's a simple. I mean, C3 is simpler, of course. Your point is good. So anything I can do here, I can sure better be able to do on C3, and I can. Okay. How am I with time? Okay, so the topological A model. So let me formulate first the ingredients. So on the topological string side, again, I'm type 2 string, so I'm talking about A model. This is roughly speaking, counting holomorphic maps from Riemann surfaces into collabial, and it's computing. Roughly speaking, computing number of such maps for a fixed degree and a fixed genus of the main curve. And not sure why I'm talking about this, but anyway. So then you can define Gramov-Witten. You can define topological A model partition function as sum over all degrees and all genera of numbers of disconnected maps, disconnected Gramov-Witten invariants, weighted by G spin to 2G minus 2 and e to the minus their degree, degree times the Kähler class. So these are instantons, and T is the area. So this is the partition function which will enter the right hand side of the duality. Okay, the deviance theory. So I will be specific. These six brains are somewhat hard. So I will set the six brain charge to zero and just take n the four brains wrapping a four cycle in the collabial, and I will ask for number. I will want to compute numbers of their numbers of bound states of n d4 brains to arbitrary numbers of d0 brains and d2 brains. Okay. So, in fact, for this particular collabial, I will take a four cycle which corresponds to picking a point in one of these fibers. And so remember, the collabial was the sum over two line bundles over sigma, so pick a point in one of them, and it's this. And then I can have, this can bound to arbitrary number of d0 brains and d2 brains wrapping the space.
Four non-compact dimensions in this problem?
compared to the...
There are four non-compact dimensions, that's right.
Treating them as differently or what?
That's right, I will be treating them differently. Right.
Why did you say there are four non-compact?
Sigma cross four. Cross, yeah.
Oh, on the
cloud, yeah. Yeah, on the cloud, yeah. Right. But in some sense, this is good enough, right? I need a choice of a cycle, choice of a four cycle, so the D brain can actually bound to D two brain, right? Wrapping sigma, which is only one class in the geometry. And okay, so what is the theory of these D brains? So, since the world volume is curved, the manifold they're wrapping is curved. This theory is topologically twisted, and in fact, it's known what kind of a twist it is. It's the what kind of a topological theory it is. Is the topological twisted n equals 4 Young Mills on D. In fact, it's the same theory which was studied by Buffer and Witten in the context of isoduality. And I will want to compute the partition function of this theory. But also, I have to turn on the chemical potentials for D0 brains, which is this, and D2 brains. So K is the Kähler form, the class of sigma. So this precisely turns on, this precisely is capturing D2 brains wrapped on sigma. And the partition function, the partition function of Young-Mills theory, with these operators turned on, is then it's simply computing the it's computing the Euler character of moduli spaces of UN instantons with second term class related to M and first term class related to N. These numbers are then, are nothing but bound state, the numbers of bound states of N D4 brains with D0 brains and D2 brains. Okay? And again, since I'm computing an index and not an actual entropy, this theory is good enough to give you the answer. So now let me just backtrack and give you a precise statement of the conjecture in this context. So then, applied to the setting. So then the conjecture states that the Young-Mills partition function with these theta and lambda parameters turned on, the chemical potential for D2 brains and D0 brains is related to topological A-model partition function squared, again distributed approximate time, where T is n times g string plus I theta, but where this number which is sitting here is the intersection number of sigma and the four cycle. This is because a one D brain on this four cycle can actually have does not necessarily carry one unit of magnetic charge. It carries this much of magnetic charge. So if I wrap n D brains, this is a total magnetic charge. Now this will be precise or This has to be precise if X is compact, but because it isn't, in principle, I have to tell you what am I doing to boundary conditions at infinity, and depending on what I do with the boundary conditions on the Young-Mills side, on the right hand side, I could have some sum over boundary conditions at infinity on X. Precisely because the manifold is not compact. Okay. Okay. So in this setting, I will not try to convince you that one should take this conjecture seriously. And there's quite a So the topological A model on this manifold it turns out that it's it was well. So first of all, because X has U1 isometries which correspond to rotation, so on the fiber is C2, so there are two U1 actions rotating each C component in C2. And it turns out that when X has U1 isometries, the topological string amplitudes localize to maps which are fixed under the U1 actions. So in this case, they just localize to maps straight on sigma. Okay. So in some sense, it's not too surprising that this theory might turn out to be actually just two-dimensional, not full six-dimensional as you might have expected. And in fact, it turns out this is right. And this theory was studied recently by mathematicians Brian and Pandri Pandey. And they show that, in fact, you get not only do you get a two-dimensional theory, you get essentially a topological theory on sigma. Okay, so that one can solve it by chopping sigma into pieces. In other words, chopping X into pieces, which also chop sigma. So chopping the whole manifold into simpler pieces, on which one can solve it explicitly, and then get the rest by gluing. So in fact, all one needs to know is the pant and the disk amplitude to get everything else. The pant and the disk, in other words, for a Riemann surface being a pant and a disk. However, when you do that, when you start cutting, you're also naturally cutting the string world sheets, right, which follows this. And so in cutting this Riemann surface, I have to fix the boundary conditions on string maps. In other words, I have to fix the winding numbers. Okay, how many holes I have with winding number 1, falling onto here, with winding number 2, and so forth. So in fact, specifying the boundary conditions is specifying an infinite dimensional vector. Nominally, just find a number of these entries are zero, but and so then your computer. So for Riemann surface on the base with h holes, the partition function will depend on h of how many boundaries you have these number of these vectors. But also, once you compute the partition function on a piece with a hole, on one Riemann surface with a hole and another one, you can obtain the answer for a union of these Riemann surfaces where the holes cancel off by a simple gluing, right? So there should be a simple relation of this type. Why? Well, because the gluing is just combinatorial. You just have to match the boundaries, and there will be some combinatorial factor in how many ways you can do this. But anyway. And So it turns out that this is fine, but if you want to express the answers in its most natural form, it turns out that this basis of winding numbers is not terribly natural, but there's a more natural basis. I guess what I should have said here is what says here, which is that, of course, when you're cutting the base Riemann surface, right, you're also cutting the full Calabi-Yau. So you also have to worry about what happens to the bundle, right? In other words, the bundle over it. And the bundle over how the two copies of C are fibered over sigma, these are two U1 bundles, right, which are specified by their degrees, in other words, by their term classes. And they just simply add under gluing, as you can see by localizing the curvature. All right. But, yes, there is a simpler... it turns out that there's a simpler basis in which you can express the answer, which is not talking about winding numbers, but talking about representations of U infinity. And of course, this change of basis should ring a bell for physicists. This is basically a bosonization of chiral boson states to states of fermions in two dimensions. But at any rate, this is not, if you're not familiar, it's not terribly important. But there's just another way to express the amplitudes or the and then what really does become simpler, the Wooing rule is then just a simple sum over representation. In other words, sum over fixed representation on both sides and sum. And the only thing is that, maps of various degrees were weighted by e to the minus degree times the area, and now degree becomes just a total number of boxes in this amplitude. Okay, so in this basis, the answer is actually very simple to give for what the partition functions are, and they go as follows. So again, all I need to tell you basically is a disk and a pan, and the amplitudes have remarkable properties, the diagonal representation. They vanish unless all representations are equal. Now, topologically, because the degrees have to be equal, you would have expected just the numbers of that the numbers of boxes in each Young tableau to be the same, but they're actually equal, right? And in fact, they're given just in terms of one function of one non-trivial function of representation of this Young tableau, which in fact turns out to be a quantum dimension of a corresponding symmetric group representation. Representation of a symmetric group corresponding to this Young tableau. And then there is Q, where Q is e to the minus g string to some number which captures the bundle, what the bundle over the Riemann surface is. Okay. What the two-line bundles are. So this is very simple. And not only is it simple, but it's also reminiscent of something. It's very reminiscent of partition functions of ordinary two-dimensional Young-Mills theory, which was studied by Gross and Taylor and many people many years ago. And in fact, it would have been basically, it would have been very similar had this quantum dimension of symmetric group representation been an ordinary dimension of a representation. These are precisely the amplitudes of a two-dimensional Young-Mills. Now, in my title, I had some kind of Q quantum, so it will, of course, be related to two-dimensional Young-Mills, but not to that of Gross and Taylor. And I'll explain what the modification is. At any rate, so now we're here. Okay, now that they've computed this, of course, getting everything else is a piece of cake. So, for example, a Riemann surface of genus G you can get by gluing 2G minus 2 pants and get an answer which just looks like this. It's this funny function which always appears to the Euler characteristic, or minus it, to the Euler characteristic. And then Q, then e to the minus G string times this object, C, I should have said what C is. C is related to some kind of a quadratic Casimir of R. Okay, so this is so then this is the full answer for the thing. And this kind of a formalism where one kind of chops the manifold into pieces and gets more complicated things from simpler ones is analogous, in fact, to this topological vertex formalism, where one considers maps where one considers maps to C3 with some debring. So in each this is like z1 axis, z2, z3, and then I can consider some d-brand which wraps fixed radial distance from origin in Z3 and wrap the corresponding circle. Anyway, so I can consider maps to D-brains, maps topological string amplitudes which have boundary conditions on these D-brains. And again, the boundary conditions will be labeled by some representations of U infinity, and there's a corresponding topological string amplitude which you want to compute. So this computes amplitudes, maps to C3 with some bunch of D-brains. And it turned out that this was a clever way of computing amplitudes of any Calabi-Yau manifold which has U1 cube symmetry corresponding to the 3 rotation. And so then, just knowing, for example, maps to C3, you could get more complicated things by gluing C3. So the reason I'm talking about this is that it turns out that you can combine the two formalisms. And for example, suppose you have a D-brain which a Lagrangian D-brain which intersects one of the copies of C in the fiber along an S1 like that. And then there could be maps not only to sigma, but also maps which wrap this disk, right? And it turns out that, well, now it's quite clear, once I've said this, it's quite clear that you can get amplitudes to this by gluing these formalism on Riemann surfaces, combining it with a topological vertexing. Again, the reason I'm saying this is I will need it later. But OK, so let me just. OK, so this is the topological string side. So these are solvable, and these are nice, simple objects. Now I need to talk about the Young-Mills theory, the theory on these ND brains wrapping the 4 cycle. So this theory is deformed by the chemical potentials for D2 brains and D0 brains, so I can count them. And now you want to compute this. The question is, how do we compute it so we can compare it to the topological string? OK, so on a general 4 manifold, for arbitrary n, this is very hard. In fact, as far as I know, has not been done. But again, the reason I picked this particular Calabi-Yau is that, of course, I can do it. And the reason I can is because the 4 cycle, remember, is a line bundle over sigma. And this has, again, U1 isometries corresponding to rotations of the fiber, around the fiber of C. And using these U1 isometries, similar to what Nikita has done in a slightly different context, you can localize the theory to just, you can localize the 4-dimensional theory to just to a theory on precisely theory on sigma. So what is left of the theory being 4-dimensional is just the data since the manifold is non-compact, right? The computer partition function, okay. So what's left over of the 4-dimensionality of the theory is the data of what the Wilson lines is the data of the Wilson line at infinity. So I can think about it as just arising by integrating f over the fiber, and then dimensional reducing like that the action. So what this gives you is an adjoint valued scalar on the Riemann surface, and an action which looks like this. So now, 2-dimensional Young-Mills appears again, because this is precisely Hamiltonian form of an action of an ordinary 2-dimensional Young-Mills. Phi f plus trace phi square. Okay. Phi is basically momentum conjugate to A. Okay, so again, I'm being a bit fast. So as Wolf and Witten explain in their paper, in some favorable circumstances, in particular when H20 of the manifold is non-zero, there's a physical way of computing the answer, of computing topological Young-Mills partition functions, which involves deforming the n equals to 4 theory such that you basically get rid of, you turn on mass deformations for all the scalar fields, and take into account what you have left with. So this is what I'm doing here. I'm turning on mass deformations for all the scalar fields. I'm basically left with I'm left with a pure gauge theory. But because the direct dimensional reduction would have just given you these two pieces. But because the manifold is a non-trivial vibration over sigma, you will have So the first two terms just come from deformations which you turn on. In other words, observables which you turn on by hand. Now again. This is if you want the derivation at a very high level of precision, this isn't one, okay. And however, again, the fact that the whole thing hangs together is a sign that that all the steps one sort of takes all faith. All right. But if you okay. Okay, so these are the pieces which you basically get on the nose. But there's an additional one which comes from the fact that the line bundle is line bundle is not a direct product, or more precisely that in trying to deform the theory to a massive one, you won't quite be successful again, precisely because the manifold is not a direct product. And there will be some extra observables which you will have to introduce to take into account these modes at points on sigma, which have remained massless. And this is it. Again, as Nikita suggested, this is a very quick and dirty argument by Kuhlmann. But so this is almost two-dimensional Young-Mills, right? In fact, everything I have told you would have led you to believe that this is a two-dimensional Young-Mills, except for one fact, which is that the scalar field phi comes from a holonomy at infinity and hence is compact. In other words, its eigenvalues are periodic, really. Right. So it's not phi which is a good variable, but it's really HDI phi. And the theory, at least in perturbation, so in some sense, you can think about this theory in perturbation theory as in fact being the same as Trasimene's theory on a circle bundle over sigma, where phi is the holonomy around the circle. Yes?
What is the level of
Trasimene? Aha. Okay, so it's not precisely Trasimene's because the level is given by related to G string and it's not quantized. Okay? So this is why it's only Trasimene's at perturbation theory, but it's not perturbative, it's better to think about it as this quantum Young-Mills theory. Yes. Yeah.
So
you can think about it that way too, yes. You can think about Trasimene's as arising on the bundle. That's right. That's right.
Then there's no way of missing.
Mm-hmm.
So once you do away, for instance, there's nothing to get in the bundle.
You're not throwing away all the instantons, right? I want to keep the D0 brain.
Yeah, when you're formal
transform. Sorry, I didn't understand what you said, but maybe you can explain it to me afterwards. Okay. I don't want to think about it as transformers precisely because the level isn't quantized, so.
Normally, the level is quantized, is that if you divide the transformers,
sure.
The inverse of
transformers. Sure. Yes. Sure, yeah. Yeah. That's why I don't want to think about it as transformers. I will think about it as a two-dimensional theory. I think it's a better way to do it. So you can maybe explain to me what the problem is in two dimensions. Okay. So again, this theory is essentially topological. It's invariant under area-preserving diffeomorphisms, and so just as ordinary 2D angles, it's also solvable by cutting it into basic pieces. And so again, the partition function of the manifold with a boundary will be some wave function, which depends on the holonomy on the boundary, and the fact that it's gauge invariant means that this can be expanded in terms of characters, but now characters of UN, like in the following way. Moreover, because it's topological invariants that are very analogous how to actually solve this theory, you can basically borrow all the technology from the way people solved ordinary two-dimensional angles, in particular the way Witten treated it, and argue that for example, by inserting any operator like this and moving it to the boundaries, you will see that that the partition function has to vanish unless all the representations are equal. So there are two basic numbers which you have to compute, which is the partition function on a disk and on a pant, which is, again, it's all diagonal representations. And moreover, because the annulus diagram, which you can obtain by gluing this to this, it's just a Hamiltonian, it's just a free propagator, the pant and the disk amplitude are actually inverse of each other. So all you need to do is compute the disk amplitude, and this is easy to do. And what you find is that it's almost, again, the answer is almost the same as an ordinary two-dimensional Young Mills, except that instead of ordinary dimension of UN representation, which you would have gotten in an ordinary two-dimensional Young Mills, you get some quantum deformities, which is, so this quantum deformation is simply saying that in an expression for dimension of a UN representation, you replace all the numbers by the Q version, whereby and Q, I mean Q to the N minus Q to the minus N over 2. Here. All right, so, I mean, now it's obvious that the structures which are appearing are the same. In other words, I have from the disk answer, the answer for the pant is this, again the annulus is this. So from this you can get the answer for higher genus Riemann surface, again by gluing. So again, everything is given in terms of basically one single function. The numbers which appear here again just depend on the way the C fiber is fibered over sigma. And moreover, something remarkable happens, which is that the subject which you compute like this actually is a modular form, which is, in other words, in addition to having expansion in terms of e to the minus lambda, it also has expansion in terms of e to the minus 1 over lambda. In other words, it can be written in terms of some set of theta functions. And the reason you might have expected that something like this should hold is precisely because the theory is related to n equals 4 Young-Mills, which has that value. Now, this is important for us because the expansion which is reading up the degeneracies of BPS states is precisely expansion in terms of e to the minus 1 over lambda. Because the zero brains, for example, are weighted by the zero brain charge over G string, right? So it's actually this form of the answer I need and not the original one. All right, so I'm finishing within 2 minutes. So what's left is just to compare the two. Again, remember the conjecture predicts that you have this relation where T, the size of the base, the size of sigma, is related to N and theta in the following way. But again, because the topological string, because the topological string amplitudes are expansions in terms of e to the minus t and g string, which should both be small, we should consider this relation at large n. Okay. In particular, this should be an equality up to terms of order e to the minus n. In other words, instanton effect. The instanton effect. All right. So, I mean, from everything I've said, it's quite clear that these two theories are very similar. Except, naively, taking n to infinity limit of this, you basically, of this quantum dimension of representation, you basically get the dimension of the symmetric group representation. But if you did this, okay, now, but, this might suggest that, in fact, the Young-Mills amplitude and the topological string are the same. However, this isn't right, because when I said that the quantum dimension of UN representation goes like this, I'm fixing the representation. In other words, I'm considering representations with small number of boxes. And that's not right, right? Because for every representation with small number of boxes, there also is a representation, a conjugate representation with order n boxes. So by doing this, one is throwing out half of the theory. Of course, all this is very familiar from Gross and Taylor, because they precisely ask the same question. What is the closed string dual to two-dimensional, ordinary two-dimensional Young-Mills? Barring on their results, then it's straightforward to show that just as in two-dimensional Young-Mills, was part of the motivation, again, to think that this might be related to two-dimensional Young-Mills, but anyway, the N equals the fourth theory might be related to two-dimensional Young-Mills. It's straightforward to show that the Young-Mills answer factorizes in terms of as a topological string answer squared. However, I have to tell you what the subject is. It's a topological string object, but maybe not the one you bargained for immediately. In other words, it corresponds to map to Riemann surface, but where at 2g minus 2 points on the Riemann surface, you have d brains in the fiber. So you can consider maps which go which wrap both this and this. Okay. Now the leading chiral block is when these representations are all trivial, so it's just maps to the base. But there also are these additional ones. So it's as if you have d brains at 2g minus 2 points over the Riemann surface. Now, the fact that there are some funny 2g minus 2 points on the Riemann surface that appear, at some level it's surprising, but at some level it's not. In fact, Gross and Taylor also saw this when they considered large and limit of an ordinary 2-dimensional Young-Mills. They precisely saw this sum over chiral blocks, but where the topological and anti... their string theory also had to do with holomorphic maps to the Riemann surface, but they were glued over 2g minus... The holomorphic and the anti-holomorphic ones were glued over 2g minus 2 points on the Riemann surface. Okay, but so here we will see that this can be interpreted, in fact, in terms of having some d brains on the Riemann surface, the chiral blocks actually, over the Riemann surface. Now, again, appearance. Okay, so this is all fine, except that the fact that there are d brains which appear in this theory is somewhat bothersome, because precisely because the theory has n equals to 2 supersymmetry. And difference would break this. So this cannot be the right interpretation. But what is the right interpretation is this. In a topological string context, in pure topological string, there's a duality which relates placing dbrains, dbrains on the fiber, with non-normalizable deformations of the geometry, which deform the geometry of the collabial in infinity. And while in topological string I can really use idle languages, in a physical superstring I can't. So a better interpretation is that the diagnostic partition function is equals to the topological string answer, but where one integrates over the non-normalizable modes at infinity, like this. In fact, what this tells you, this answer is in fact quite natural. It's natural for the following reason. Precisely because the way you want to think about this is kind of taking out a piece of the collabial, zooming into some neighborhood in the collabial. They're also non-normalized. You expect that there should that in doing that, non-normalizable modes should be very important. And what this says is basically that you should be thinking, well, that this generalizes, in some sense, the conjecture to in the non-compact string context, one should generalize the conjecture to include the non-normalizable modes, but then I'm just not turning on any charges for them. Okay. So this all, I think, fits very nicely into their original framework. Okay, so I should stop here because I'm already over time. And so I think what this should convince one is that the conjecture is that there's something in it which is definitely right. Of course, understanding precisely what it says, understanding anti-homomorphic dependence, understanding whether there's some dependence on hypermultiple to moduli, whether this connects in some way to S-duality, whether this conjecture can be even understood purely in a topological string, it's also a natural question. Or it's something which really comes from, purely in a topological string, maybe in some sense of an S-duality. Or it's something which is really a consequence of ADST of T-duality in four dimensions. All of these interpretational issues, I think, are wide open. But I think it's worth working on it. Okay, this is all. Thank you.
Any more questions? Can you show us, for example, where you can see the modularity of this partition function?
Sure. Well, you can do it on a torus, even on a P1. The expressions are in our paper. Again, the subtle is having to do with non-compactness. In other words, the answer is actually a sum of modular forms. Okay. Again, because the theory breaks up into sectors depending on what you do with boundary conditions at infinity. Okay. But another case which you in principle can do, which is perhaps the most is, for example, you can consider dbrains which wrap ALE spaces, C square mod Zn, as an example of this, where the base Riemann surface is a chain of P1. Of course, in that case. They're all modular forms, but they're sums over modular forms with appropriate boundary conditions at infinity. Okay. What I'm trying to say is that in this case, precisely what the boundary conditions at infinity mean is easiest to understand. But otherwise, they are sums of modular forms. So.
No,